Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is physical blindness, there is spiritual blindness, and there is one other kind. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. A man who is blind from birth can't hope in science or technology, in medicine or doctors, or any other man-made help. A man born blind from birth has no hope, and he has no explanation for why he is blind and yet others see. If a man goes blind sometime during his life, maybe there is some reason for it. Maybe his poor diet led to diabetes, and diabetes to blindness. Maybe he spent too much time playing on his handheld device, and instead of killing him outright as he deserves, God, in his infinite mercy, merely took his eyes. Or maybe he spent too much time looking where he shouldn't have, and only he would know the real reason why a disease came and took his sight. So goes our neat and tidy law logic. Tit for tat, the sinner gets spanked. And the moral of the story is, so goes our tidy little law logic, right up until our Lord passes by, seeing a man who is blind from birth. A man who is blind from birth. How does this fit with our neat and tidy law logic? A man who is born blind from birth was once a little baby. A little baby born without sight, blind and helpless. Any man who looks at suffering like this instantly becomes a theologian. How could a loving and all-powerful God allow suffering like this? That a little baby would be born blind without doing anything to deserve it. Either God must not be loving, or he must not be all-powerful, or he must not be at all. Ironically, the disciples, both then and now, use precisely the same logic. Since there is a God, and he is loving, and he is all-powerful, therefore it must be that this man or his parents sinned. So who was it, Rabbi? Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Tit for tat, the sinner gets spanked, and the moral of the story is, but our Lord Jesus will have nothing to do with this law logic, at least not today. It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him, Jesus says. The Lord Jesus neither doubts God nor defends him, neither accuses the man nor excuses him. The Lord Jesus offers an entirely different way of thinking altogether. The works of God will be displayed in this man. That is the point. That is all that matters. The gracious working of God. Here, in the place of suffering, here in the flesh and soul of the man who suffers, here, somewhere between the sin and the curse, the crime and the punishment, there is a whole new logic at work. It is the logic of the gracious working of God, the logic of the gospel, the logic of life. The old logic is put away. Man's accusation of God, God's accusation of man, the law logic, the death logic, comes to an end right there in Jesus Christ. He is crucified, and there on the cross is God killing man and man killing God. It is the end of sin and curse, the end of crime and punishment, the end of law logic, the end of death logic. Father, forgive them. And my God, why have you forsaken me? Spoken by the very same lips. The very same lips that now spit on the ground, making the mud that is smeared into the blind man's eyes. It is these lips that tell him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. For by these lips, the lips of Jesus, comes the logic of the gospel, the logic of life and sight and all that is good, the gracious working of God. Spit and earth into mud, mud and water into sight. Strange way that our Lord chooses to heal. Spit and dirt with a little water from a pool. This isn't the way of humanity's logic, is it? But it is the way of gospel logic. The one who makes Adam from the dirt, the one who cursed Adam to return to the dirt, now takes dirt and fashions it into new eyes. This is the logic of the gospel, the logic of new creation, resurrection, new life. Strange logic that the Lord Jesus uses spit mud and water to give a sinner his sight. Strange logic, too, that the Lord Jesus would use a little handful of water and a little mouthful of word to wash your sins away. Strange logic that the Lord Jesus would give you a little piece of bread and a little sip of wine by which you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the new covenant. And in these gifts, he gives his promise to you, your sin and God's curse find their end in him. From this day forth and forevermore, the gracious working of God will be displayed in you. There is physical blindness, spiritual blindness, and one other kind. Spiritual blindness belongs not just to the Pharisees, but to all men. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, Scripture says, for they are foolishness to him. Foolish thing to trust in your baptism. Foolish thing to trust in Holy Communion. Foolish thing to trust in that spit mud and water. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And the foolishness that flows through spit and dirt, through baptism and the supper, is the foolishness of Christ's cross. The foolishness of a God who so loved the world that he gave his Son for you. The foolishness of a God who forgives your sins and will let nothing stand between him and you. Blind to this mercy. All the disciples can do when they see the blind man, when they see a man suffering, is talk about who sinned. Blind to God's mercy. All the Pharisees can do when they see the blind man healed is accuse Jesus of sin. Blind to God's mercy, the man's own parents are so terrified of being thrown out of the synagogue that they throw their own son under the bus. The whole world, blind to the logic of the gospel, infatuated with the logic of the law, spits the sinner out. And that's you. The law logic spoken by your pastor when he preaches the law, spoken by your spouse, your boss, your friends, even your own heart as your conscience condemns you. It spits you out, no different than the man who is spit out of the synagogue. And just like him, you also land at the feet of Jesus. All sinners land at the feet of Jesus, cast out by the law, justly accused, rightly condemned. All sinners land at the feet of Jesus, and there Jesus finds them. Do you believe in the Son of Man, he asks. Do you believe? And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you, Jesus says. Lord, I believe, the sinner says, and he worshiped him. For judgment I came into this world, Jesus says, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees heard these things and said, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now, because you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains. This is the judgment, that those who say, 'We see,' may become blind. If you think you see and see just fine, then you have no need for Jesus. This is the judgment, that Jesus has come only for those who say, 'We are blind,' that those who do not see may see in him." If the logic of the law has had its way with you, and you find yourself lost and condemned, hopeless and blind, then for judgment Jesus has come, and this is the judgment. He will give you sight, but not as the world sees. Christ himself will be your light. In fact, he has come only for the lost and condemned sinner, only for the one who is hopeless and blind. He does not come for the pretty good person. He does not come for the person who has it pretty much all figured out. He does not come for the truly committed person or any such others who think that they see. He's come for real sinners with sinful hearts and sinful lives. He has come to reveal himself to you. He is the light that has come into the world. He is your light. You may have perfectly good eyes, but if you have no light, then you won't see a thing. Jesus is your light. A sermon without Jesus is darkness. A day lived without Jesus is blindness. To look at your life, your sufferings, and your joys apart from Jesus is both darkness and blindness. But Jesus is your way to see, your way to understand all things that you endure. He is your light. From the darkness of that Friday afternoon shines the light of the world. From the foolishness of the cross, his wisdom shineth. From his cross shines your perfect righteousness. From his resurrection shines your future. From Jesus comes a different logic for your life, the logic of the gospel, the logic of eternal life, the works of God being displayed in you. There is physical blindness, spiritual blindness, and there is one other kind. There is none so blind as he who will not see. And this time it is God who will not see. He will not see your sin. There is none so blind as he. And he will not see your sin because he wills not to see your sin. He has chosen to look at the cross of his Son instead. With the blood of Jesus, God blots out each and every one of your sins. He sees them not. Where you see your sin, God sees only Jesus' blood. Hide your sins from him, and he'll find them out. Confess your sins to him, and he will blot them out. There is none so blind as the God who has buried your sin in the death of Christ, the God who has hidden your sins from his own eyes in the very blood of his Christ. In his name, amen.